On this Monday, what if you could unzip that stiff suit of career, job, whatever it is that has you confined to a routine and refit yourself? Just find a catalog of dreamy success stories and order up a new life. If you think I'm about to give out an 800 number and a never-failed diet plan, what I'm talking about is a far cry from supermarket checkout line self-help. Writer and lifestyle daredevil, I call him, Tim Ferriss, would be the first to say that taking control in a sustained, life-changing way is hard. It involves seeing opportunities away from popular crowds, cultivating the least obvious path, and then, after finding something promising, jumping obsessively in with both feet. Ferriss did this early on in his career. It's how he got from Princeton to sales in a data storage company to his first startup, an internet business selling nutritional supplements. His book, The 4-Hour Workweek, which promised an end to the 9-to-5 slog, was a huge hit. Then The 4-Hour Body and The Tease of Becoming Superhuman. Ferriss's latest book is that catalog of dreamy success stories, Tools of Titans, the tactics, routines, and habits of billionaires, icons, and world-class performers. In it, he channels what's allowed billionaire investors and world-class athletes to make it to the top, where he says the titans live.
Who's a titan? A titan for me is someone who sets out to achieve something and achieves it after overcoming many obstacles, and ideally ends up, let's just say, in the top 1%. Of performers in their given industry or trade or sport or whatever it might be. I try to focus on titans who have not arrived where they are based on primarily attributes. This is why perhaps, this is maybe a terrible example because he has very, very good training, but I wouldn't go to Michael Phelps to learn how to swim because I cannot emulate or simulate his body type. It's perfectly suited for what he does. I would rather go to Phelps and say, who do you know who shouldn't be good at swimming, who is exceptional? Someone who doesn't fit the body type, someone who started late. I want to talk to that person.
Or just buy some weed from Phelps.
Or buy some weed from Phelps.
Yeah, I think I would be so intimidated to ask him about swimming.
Well, I didn't learn to swim until I was in my 30s.
Really?
And I grew up on Long Island. How embarrassing is that?
Embarrassing? That's crazy.
Yeah,
Why? Why is
that? I had a number of – so I have a bad left lung. I was born premature and I was in the ICU for a long time. I still have respiratory issues. And I had a few near-drowning experiences in summer camp. And it just terrified me.
That'll do it.
So I stayed away from swimming completely.
And so what got you over the hump?
So it's funny you mentioned Phelps and weed.
That's a Titan experience there.
It's funny that you mentioned Phelps and weed because oftentimes when you find someone who's really good at spotting non-obvious things or the uncrowded bet, for instance, Chris Sacca is a friend of mine who went from relatively unknown to the cover of the Forbes Midas issue. So I watched his ascension. And he's really good at staring at the same thing everybody is seeing and just finding something different about it. And I met him at a barbecue. I told him about this problem I'd always had with swimming. And he said, I have the answer to your prayers, which is always setting expectations kind of high. But he introduced me to a method of swimming called total immersion. And it was created by
otherwise known as drowning.
Otherwise known as drowning. Well, it was created by an older gent named Terry Loughlin. And it completely rethinks how to teach swimming. And literally with a book, in the span of about 10 days, I went from not being able to do a lap to doing 30 to 40 laps in practice with zero stress.
Did you emulate the stare at the problem obsessively technique that you described a moment ago? I mean, have you done that yourself, just stared at a problem? I mean, because I've got one for you, you know,
sure.
the political system.
Yeah, so
I stare at that for a while.
I have stared at problems, but what I find, for me at least, more helpful now that I've gone through this exercise with a lot of different things is to ask seemingly absurd questions. That comes up a lot with people who are at the top of their game in different fields. So what if we did the opposite for 48 hours? Now, the political system, putting that aside for a moment, what if we did the opposite or tried the opposite for 48 hours? What would that look like? What if we had to, let's just say we have 100 hours allocated, if we had a gun against our heads and had to do it in 10 hours, what would we do? Understanding that there's no magical answer, but it will force you to fracture maybe the constraints that you've been assuming. So I tend to go into all of these different skills or areas with a set of questions like that that help me to hopefully see the things that are hidden or underappreciated, right? For instance, I'll give you one with swimming. If you go to take a swimming lesson, they start you with swimming. That's the problem. They should start with getting you comfortable dunking your head underwater and holding your breath and timing your breathing. And then they should only have you practice in water that you could stand up in, like 3 to 4 feet of water. That almost never happens. But then in retrospect, you're like, of course, that's so obvious. So the political system, I'm going to be pretty deep in my ignorance pool here. But I would say, for instance, learning a language is similar to political system in the sense that it's too all-encompassing. There are too many factors, too many facets. So I would try to thin slice that. So maybe we'd look at, I live in California, maybe we'd look at how can I influence San Francisco propositions. And
well, that's interesting because, I mean, you're coming up with a solution that a lot of people are talking about now, and that is go local.
Yeah.
Get local. Forget about this national business because it's just too absurd.
It's too absurd, and it's also too multivariate. There are just too many issues, too many aspects, too many components. And also on the national stage, and this was actually something pointed out to me by Ezra Klein, people already have entrenched positions. And on the local level, yes, there will be people in favor of or against, but there are some very important issues and decisions that you can tackle that don't have, right from the get-go, an army against you and an entire population of people who are not going to change their position no matter how much evidence you supply them.
So when you decide to, and I'll end on this, when you decide to spend all the work that it takes to write Tools of Titans, how do you not at the end of it just have such a feeling of total inadequacy? Because you're like none of them.
Well, this is the deep, dark secret that's not so dark. One of my main objectives with the book, first I wrote it for myself. I never plan on publishing this one. This was just to consolidate my favorite.
You rejected it yourself first. yeah.
Tools so and tactics for myself. But,
get that out of
but
the way.
What I was going to say is I wanted blueprints, but I also wanted to prove to myself and to people reading that all of these people we put on magazine covers, we put on pedestals, they're flawed creatures walking around with lots of weaknesses, fighting battles we know nothing about. And I wanted to make that super, super clear. So the reason that I actually feel the opposite of inadequate, I feel encouraged, is because all of these people, these titans, these icons, fill in the blank heroes, have their holes, they have their weaknesses. And the more I think we discuss that, the more we present it and tell those stories, which I try to elicit from them, the better we'll feel and the more progress we'll make.
It's great fun, this book, that's for sure. Tools of Titans. Tim Ferriss, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Tim Ferriss is the best-selling author of The 4-Hour Workweek and host of the Tim Ferriss Show podcast. His latest book, Tools of Titans, is out now.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.